kind of yard out and what constitutes Kinnan Dvarim. We got a massive problem. Thank you so much. And again, you know, we're not going to spend forever on this. We're just going to, you know, try to identify, you know, some of the basic shitos. But I think the last thing that we were discussing, again, the actual Shakla Vitaria of the Gemara, the fact that the when the Gemara thought that Chalukas HaShutvos was subject to Kinyan, and that that would solve, that Kinyan Konam Yoda would solve the problem of Chazara, you know, what did the Gemara think at that, you know, at that moment? Right, if we could freeze that right there, then the Gemara immediately asks, that doesn't work because of Kinyan Dvarim Bialma. And then the Gemara retorts, you know, that we're talking about a situation where Kanu the Ruchos. Right. So all those are all three, you know, different ideas in the Gemara. So for the first issue, as we've discussed, it could be, you know, we could say that the Gemara really thought that there is such a thing as Kinyan Dvarim. And that's a little bit strange, like why would that be? But it's not any stranger than what the Rambam describes, you know, in Parakei, the end of Parakei Hilchos Mechira, you know, that people actually, notwithstanding this Gemara, you know, Minhag HaOlam is, you know, to apply Kinyanim to situations where, you know, either they don't work or they're unnecessary. And what I was trying to suggest was that that's not necessarily, I mean, there are two ways to look at that. You could say it's, you know, it's purely out of ignorance. People don't understand what a Kinyan is. People don't understand when you need and when you don't need a Kinyan. But I think more likely it's because there's a very fine line. You know, Kinyan is bound up with Gemiras Das. Definitely. It's a reflection of, and it sometimes strengthens Gemiras Das, particularly Kinyan Sudar, as we're going to elaborate, but we've already hinted at that. So that's, you know, one point. And there's also just like a very fine line, maybe, you know, between, you know, just, you know, a decision, a commitment, a promise, right, and something which kind of is a legally binding, you know, commitment or a legally binding change in the way in which you relate, you know, to either other people or obligations, etc. So the idea that, you know, you might have thought, you know, that even something like Chalukas HaShutvos, you know, is nitan, you know, Lekinyan isn't really so crazy. You know, from a purely, I'd say, Dvarim, you know, point of view, you have a partnership and you're now kind of making a commitment, right, to dissolve that partnership. You haven't dissolved it yet, but you are committed to, you know, to take that step. Moreover, this is a whole different idea, as we discussed. Even if it's not true, even if we always did understand the difference between Kinyan Dvarim and Kinyan, and we understood that, you know, a Kinyan is going to be ineffective, you know, in establishing, you know, certain kinds of promises or intentions, as it were, even commitments, you know, as being binding. And by the way, that's already like a good way of saying things, as I'm saying it, right? You know, an intention, you know, is different than a promise. You know, a promise, you know, is different than a commitment. Again, we could, you know, play with the language, but, you know, both in English and Hebrew and other languages too. But these are different levels, right? An intention is just that. It's, nothing has happened in a moment, and nothing is ironclad. But I've stated, you know, my intention or my preference, more than a preference, something I, you know, I see myself doing in the future, and that's very different than a promise, as I say, and a commitment sounds like it's stronger than a promise, and something which is a binding commitment, and even already, you know, where the legal consequences, you know, have kind of begun, and that there's a bond or a relationship, you know, between me or the person who benefits from that commitment. These are just, you know, these are madrigos. These are madrigos, even in the world of, you know, we'll call it the world of commitment, which are still quite distant from the world of actual, you know, changing ownership or changing the status or focusing, you know, on the legal status of an object. Right? These are all in the area of whatever you want to call it, ischaibus, you know, shibud, which are beyond haftacha and kabana, let's say. So, you know, that's one whole perspective, which we're going to keep getting back to. And then the other one is that when it comes to shutfus more particularly, that, you know, maybe there is, you know, just a different, you know, perspective. And that the more we think that shutfus is kind of redrawing, you know, the kinyan, or redistributing, whatever you want to call it, but it's not like, you know, we had this chafza called shutfus, you know, that gets terminated, and now, you know, we start from scratch. So the possibility, you know, that even the commitment to that is kind of like an assertion or a reassertion, you know, of already existing, you know, a bond, you know, between the parties, albeit with some change, but it's a change which, you know, kind of is built in or structured in already to the dynamic of shutfus. So that just might be a very different animal. Again, so, you know, we're going to talk, I think Avik Sos and Sivas, right, speak about in Reishvav, right? Yeah? Okay, good. So, we actually find there that suggestion, not related to our sugya, frankly, at all, but we'll get back to it, in terms of the discussion of the Marik, I believe, I think that's in the Sivas, it's Ha'ara, about the Marik and Simin Kuf, right, who seems to, you know, suggest, you know, that what other people think is kinyan dvarim, you know, would be effective, like a person makes a commitment, is based on the Gemara, and we'll get to it in a couple of minutes. That's why I brought in the Gemaras today. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, what is it, Ayin Beis Amud Aleph, where the guy says, you know, when I or if I sell my property, right, I, you know, I'm committing to sell it to you, right? And the question is, does he have to, you know, okay, so the question is that binding or not? Then he goes out and he says, in other words, Reuven says to Shimon, if I sell my property, or when I sell my property, I will sell it to you. Okay, and then he goes out and he sells the property to Levi. Right, and the question is, what recourse does Shimon have, you know, in this situation? So, of course, the question is, again, he promised him, he committed to him, did he do more, you know, more than that? So, you know, are we talking about a case of kinyan? Are we talking about a case of kinyan me'achshav? We'll get to that in a couple of minutes, hopefully. I want to go through the cases. Kinyan me'achshav, you know, what exactly, you know, does it matter if he says chayiv or not? Like, what are the parameters, you know, of that particular thing? So the Marik, we'll read inside in a few minutes, but the Marik, you know, seems to have like a very expansive, you know, view on that case or on that question. And the Nesiva says, you know, and everybody's upset with that Marik. And the Nesiva says, oh, I looked it up, and it's talking about a case of shutfus. And when it comes to shutfus, there are different laws. It doesn't exactly explain why. It certainly doesn't invoke, you know, our Gemara, definitely not in the way that I'm suggesting, that even the Havamina, that this would be proper kinyan, is a shutfus kind of a thing. Maybe even the Maskona of the Ruchos, we'll get to a second. But he does say that the rules within shutfus, you know, in terms of when you need a kinyan, you know, and you know, when t'nai is good enough, etc., you know, that whole dynamic changes. So again, why? Because of asmachta, because of umdana, perhaps. or maybe because of what I'm suggesting, which is, you know, what you're really doing in the context of a shutfus is you are, of course, it's still a radical change, you know, but it's a radical change that's not yesh me'ay. It's a radical change kind of from, you know, within. So these are, I think, two, if we're freezing the Gemara, when the Gemara thought that a kinyan would work, in this case, I think there are two perspectives, I guess three, well, okay, two perspectives for that. One is that this has something to do with shutfus, and the second is that, you know, we are at least thinking, not that, you know, you can be kona bedvar, or you could be kona bedvar, you know, also, but not any kind of dvarin, but certain kinds of dvarin. And this, of course, really touches, so again, in the next line, when the Gemara says, kinyan dvar bi'alma, it's either introducing a concept which we didn't previously know, or it's saying, even in shutfus, you know, this is still kinyan dvarin, or maybe it's denying that shutfus is unique at all, or it could be acknowledging that it is, but it's insufficient, hard to know. It's also possible, you know, that the Gemara is just tempering, you know, the original point, and that is, you know, this is still, you know, we know that you knew that this was Kinyan Barim, and not just because, you know, and thought that nonetheless Kinyan would be Chal, not just because of Shutfus, you know, but because maybe there's more to it than that. And then the question is, you know, again, what is Kinyan Barim? And with regard to that, you know, we're going to see some of the Lashonis of Rishonim, and it's very, very hard to pin down again. This is the Gemara that is characterized as Kinyan Bar. And in many other places in Shas, we have cases of Rehu Shekonu Miyado, you know, or just cases of Kinyan, which seem to work, which, you know, might qualify, you know, for this. So that, of course, you know, basically puts a spotlight on this whole question. And, you know, again, if we were like to take a step back a priori and think about it, right, we could think, you know, I think, again, broadly speaking, you know, three things. You know, one is that when the Gemara rejects Kinyan Devarim, you know, it really requires, you know, something much closer to, you know, what we typically associate with Kinyan. In other words, a real present, you know, something that doesn't smack at all of an intention, a promise, you know, even a commitment, you know, even a kind of ischaivus type commitment. But that, you know, is associated, you know, with the, you know, conventional, you know, typical characteristics of a kinyan. That doesn't have to mean havaras bailus, but it usually will mean, you know, something having to do with chefza, or the legal status of a chefza, or an exchange of some sort, you know, something which we associate, you know, more in terms of typical kinyan. And that might be, and anything less than that would be kinyan dvarim. You know, and then we're going to have to scramble a little bit, maybe a lot, to try to explain some of the cases in Shas that seem fine, you know, where it doesn't seem like a typical kinyanim, but we're going to end up saying or doing is, you know, trying to find that there really is, you know, even if it isn't superficially obvious, the elements of real kinyan, you know, in those cases, whether it's, you know, shibudim, you know, shibud nechasim, you know, or shibud aguf, you know. So again, those are much more amorphous. I mean, we don't really see those things. They're abstract in the sense that they're not, you know, we're not picking up a chayfetz. We're not talking about the transfer of a chayfetz in the present, but we are talking about, you know, creating a mechanism for gevia, a chatzi kinyan, whatever you want to call it, an arvus, you know, either with property or if you can. Again, we'll see all these things in a minute. From Shibud Aguf, I just want to talk it out first, I guess. So, you know, even if it isn't, you know, obvious at first glance, even if reconstruction is required for us to be aware of these very subtle ongoing, you know, of these subtle goings-on, I should say, of Kinyanim, that's really what's happening. Okay, there's some, you know, there's some kind of Miktsas Kinyan or whatever it is, you know, in the Gavra, you know, in his Chovas, you know, Shibud, or in the Kosim, or in the property itself, you know, etc., etc. That's one approach. The opposite approach would be to say, again, to zero in on, you know, the fact that there are a number of cases, and there don't seem obviously Kinyanim cases, as well as the fact that, you know, the Hava Mina was, you know, that even in Shutfus there could be a binding Kinyan, right? And again, let's assume that isn't a Shutfus thing for the moment. And to say, you know what? Well, it's true, let's say, that an intention alone, you know, is not subject to Kinyan, can't be made binding by a Kinyan. Kinyan's not chal on an intention. And maybe not even on a promise, which has a different connotation. You know, but there are certain, you know, legal commitments, hischaibuyos, you can call it, you know, again, maybe that's what Shivat HaGuf really means, frankly. You know, where, you know, it's more of a formal and present, you know, it's a chalos, you know, of this, it's the higher stature of the commitment, we could call it, you know, kind of pushes it into, you know, legal chalos territory, if you will. And that, of course, is quite subtle, right? And then we have to figure out, you know, then we're going to be, of course, anything that is an obvious kinyan with a tachlif or a change in status or an assertion of, you know, ownership even in the immediate, that's all kinyan. And then there are going to be, like, these different differences, you know, within the world of promises and hiskaibuyos and shibudim, you know, and you're going to have to figure, you know, that out. That, I think, is the middle ground, and that helps, I think, for a lot of things. The third possibility is to go, you know, completely the other direction, and that is, again, accentuating, you know, the Havam, you know. So maybe, you know, the line between, you know, Gemiras Das, and, you know, creating the commitment, and Kinyan, you know, kind of concretizing, you know, that, and reinforcing it, is really very strong. You know, almost like, again, you know, what the Rambam's describing, you know, Yesh Dvarim Bego, for sure. And not just because, you know, Shibudim and real commitments are already a legal relationship. Let's assume even, you know, even very, very strong promises, you know, you can reinforce, you know, sufficiently. Things that are future-oriented, present, things that are even not so, you know, so concrete. However, what you might say, even again, there are different ways to say this, is that the problem is a more technical one. Either asmachta, right? You know, if it's Dvarim B'Alma, there's nothing concrete or whatever, or it's too futuristic, then you have to overcome the problem of asmachta. Okay, we'll see. You know, the Tshuvas Arif, we'll see in a moment, we'll just look at something in the show notes, seems to equate asmachta and Kinyan Dvarim, you know, B'Alma. But I don't think you have to, you know, stop at that. I think you could say other things like, oh, you need something mevurar, you know, for a kinyan to be chal. Maybe not because of the absence of a smachta, maybe just that's a requirement of kinyanim. You know, kinyan bedavar she'eh, just like you can't be makne davar shelo bali olam, you know, which is a question here, you can be mishabe davar shelo bali olam, but let's say, or davar she'eno katzuv. So what about something which is eno baro or eno katzuv? You know, both in terms of a chalos kinyan, or in terms of the maisa kinyan, like what, you know, what does the kinyan attach itself to? The mice of Kinyan problem is less of an issue, obviously, if we're talking about Kinyan pseudo, which we typically are. But even then, so what I'm saying is maybe the problem is really there are Kinyan Dvar Bialma, why not? I mean, a Kinyan is an expression of Miras Das, or many Kinyanim are, at least maybe Kinyan Sudar is, as we'll discuss. And it's also, you know, therefore your commitment, your promise, your dischaivus, you know, is made binding by, because it's also concretized and therefore reinforced by, you know, the king. The only thing is, you know, if it's just Dvarim, you know, then it's too flimsy, it's too, you know, there's nothing for it to be chal on. So I think those are the three, you know, basic approaches, you know, to Kinyan Dvarim. And of course there's a lot of detail, you know, in between. So, again, just very quickly, we'll go back to this, but again, the idea of the Shutfus Shiny I've mentioned, and I'll get back to that when we talk about Chalukas HaShutfus and some of the issues that come up in this Gemara, you know, for sure. I think when we do that also, we'll take another minute, but I'll just something to think about. Like, is the issue that I'm raising regarding Shutfus, is it better or worse in Yesh Bakadei Chalukah or Ein Bakadei Chalukah? I think that's an interesting... Josh, what do you think about that? Just off the top of your head.
If you're forced into the Shutfus, so maybe that prevents them from the commitment.
Say that again?
If you're forced into the Chalukah, let's say, so maybe it's not as much of a commitment where you choose to operate.
Well, no, let's say... In other words, you're saying if Yesh Bakadei Chalukah, and therefore each side can do it, whatever they can trigger it, whatever they want... Is that so more of a reason to think that it's a redistribution or
it
less?
It could be it's more of a change in the ownership altogether because you didn't have to split this up to begin with.
You didn't have to. In which case? Again, I'm not following.
Ein Badin Chalukah.
Oh, Ein Badin Chalukah. He's saying, so Ein Badin Chalukah is more of a change because the partnership could have kept going forever. Therefore, you're saying the contrast. Between, is that what you're saying? The contrast between the partnership and what follows is like more of a transformation, and more of a transformation might need, you know, more of a real kingdom as opposed to redistribution. Yeah, I think that makes, as opposed to a situation where you can force, you can say, well, you know, everybody always had their individual rights within the shutfus because at any point they could have, you know, changed it. So I think that is one way to look at it. I think you could also argue the opposite, and not just arbitrarily. I think it depends what you're focusing on. Anybody want to argue the opposite? Yeah.
It's Ein Badin Chalukah. It's almost like a shared property. It's too small for them to exert their individual ownership, so it becomes more of a unified Bible.
To begin, as a shutfus. If you focus, exactly, I think that's a great point. If you focus... On the shutfus itself, right? A shutfus, you know, which is Ein Bo Kedei Chalukah, right, is more of an integrated, you know, partnership. You know, because the other one you'd say, oh, you know, they're look. Again, it's two sides of the same coin, but it's different perspective. What Josh was saying was, yeah, I mean, each one really had his individual ownership all the time, and you could just, you know, undo it. You know, and just separate it out for that reason more easily. Right? What Noam is saying is the other way, that, you know, as partners, they're you know, each one has part of the whole, because, you know, so let's say like this way, regular shutfus, each one has half, you know, but they're all, or they have their own half, you know, but they're also sharing, you know, the whole. But, you know, and therefore, in the other part of the part that he ends up with, you know, maybe, you know, it's not really his. You know, but when it comes to an integrated shutfus, because it's Ein Ba Kedei Chalukah, so each person is really has bialus on. So now, really, what he's doing is just kind of downsizing. You know, he had this seven amos, you know, property, you know, and he's just going to walk away with the four amos of it, right? That's what you're saying. Something like that? Okay. So I think that's a really interesting, I do think that's a really interesting thing to think about in general, about these two shutfiyos. Okay. So basically we have we have this, I think these three perspectives. The Havamina, the next line of the Gemara, and the third line of the Gemara. And as I regard the third line of the Gemara, just we'll get back to it, but let's just talk for a minute about it. And that is, now that becomes very important. So if you hold like most Rishonim, right, they're going to tell us that the third line of the Gemara, you know, that the Chok in Beruchos, Yasi is what? We mentioned this already, I'm just catching up again. According to most, the way most Rishonim are interpreting the Gemara, right, the Gemara says, you know, the Kanamiyan. Then the Gemara says, ah, it can't be, it's Kinen Dvar Biyan. And the Gemara says, no, the Koda Beruchos, right? So how did most Rishonim interpret that? We have two ways you could read the Gemara structurally. One way is, right, that the Gemara, again, how much of a concession is the Gemara making now? But the two ways to read the Gemara is the Gemara could be saying, right, yeah, you're right, you need a Kinyan Gamor. And then the Gemara is saying, yeah, we're talking about a case where there was a Kinyan Gamor. Right? So, you know, then you walk away from this Gemara, you may not be so much wiser about what differentiates Kinyan Dvarim from not Kinyan Dvarim, but at least, you know, there's no reason. The Gemara didn't give any ground, is what I'm trying to say. You know, the case that it, endorses, right, is a case where either a Kinyan Sudar or a Kinyan Chazaka was made in the present to divide up the Shutfus Sheinba Kedei Chalukah. Correct? So there's no, you know, nothing to think that the Gemara in any way was, you know, pulling back from requiring, you know, a typical, you know, characteristic Kinyan, and that anything less than that isn't Dvarim Bial. But the other way to read the Gemara is, right, that the Gemara is saying, you know, no, there was a Kinyan to divide the Ruchos here, but that wasn't yet the actual Kinyan to divide up the property. Right, so there were two Kinyanim, basically. There's a Kinyan to agree, you know, I'm going to get the south side, you're going to get the north side, right, or whatever it is. You know, but yet, that doesn't yet, you know, transfer the actual properties to the individuals. And then, after that, at some point, they actually make the Kinyan. They complete the, you know, the termination of the Shutfas. They haven't terminated the Shutfas yet. They just made a Kinyan, you know, about how they're going to do it. That is a kind of Kinyan Dvarim, one would think. So that's certainly a way to read the Gemara. Now, if you look at Rabbeinu Gershom, I'm not 100% sure of it, but this is what I was trying to get out of it. Simcha Leib, you got it? Dvarim Bial. What is first of all, just interesting for everybody. Again, it's just a little frustrating because there's not always consistency here, but it doesn't matter. We do the best we can. Kinyan Dvarim Bial. We're always looking for someone to define what that means and what is it going to emphasize. Are they going to emphasize lack of kitzva or birur? Are they going to emphasize that this isn't a typical Kinyan with a, you know, heftza changing ownership or status? Are they going to emphasize that it's more than just, you know, an intention to do something later? Are they going to emphasize whether it's present or future? What are they going to emphasize? Right. So, what does the Rabbeinu Gershom emphasize? Kinyan Dvar Bialmahu? So So actually, this Rabbeinu Gershom is a little frustrating, right? Because there are two statements here, right? One is what is a kinyan? Matana, mechira, shum davar shemara lo chefet shenosim lemakabel. Okay. The kona miyado al kach. So that's the key line. If it's matana mechira, you know, and that's the standard. right? Then every you know case of the Gemara is going to have to kind of turn into that, you know, even if it's very, very subtle. What do the words mean? O shum davar shamar lo chefetz shenosein lemakabel the konim miyado al kach. Is konim miyado al kach doesn't sound to me like your kone the chefetz, right? It sounds more like he's making a radical a mechira, a matana, or a haftacha, where you're mevarer, you know, what which chefetz exactly is going to be affected. Like, that's a huge leap. I'm not 100% sure. It's possible that these words mean, you know, that you identify the chefetz and you make a kinyan in it. But to me, it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like the konin miyado al kach, that he will be nosein this specific chefetz. So it's the birur chefetz more than it is the actual hakna, right, in the present. But I'm not sure. Okay. Aval hacha sha'alim l'chomer l'chavero. And again, nitol kinyon shenachlok. What? Nothing happened. And you didn't even define kinyon devarim. Why? I would have said kinyon devarim because nothing happened. Right? No kinyon is taking place. Not l'mafreya. Not a delayed kinyon. You know, that's what I would have said. That's not what Rabbeinu Gershom seems to be saying. But I'm not 100% sure. What's he saying? Dilo nivrar al manotel kinyon. The problem here isn't that there's no actual chalosa kinyon to the present, right? The problem is that you haven't identified the cheftza, you know, shel kinyon, even in the future one, even as a matter of intent. So it's the absence of specificity that is the problem. Like, nothing's happened here except the statement of intent. Now, is that, again, is specificity like a factor in its own right in kinyanim, like, you know, davakatsu and so far and so on like that? Or it's just more of an indication that, you know, oh, you could have, you know, legal commitments that aren't legal transformations, you know, but if you're not being specific, you know, that's not even much of a commitment. I'm not sure. I just don't know. These are very subtle questions. I think I know the questions to ask, and I have impressions, but... Okay, so I think it's an interesting Rabbeinu Gershom, and in light of that, how does he explain Shekana Miyada Beruchos? Go ahead. Tehekna Lezeh. So what do you mean? Dehainu kinyan gamor hoil v'huvrar al ma konu. I don't know. I'm just not sure. I just don't know what Rabbeinu Gershom means here. The first few words, just like the first few words in the previous line, sound like, oh, this is the actual kinyan, right? In which case, konu miyada beruchos is meaningless, basically. But the last few words, where he says, "Dahainu kinyan gomor hoel v'huvrar alma," it's a kinyan gomor because it's huvrar alma konu. No, it should be a kinyan gomor because this is the actual change of ownership right now. Right. So is he saying no? There's something still to come. You know, but by identifying how it's all going to shake out, you know, that's concrete enough, you know, and that can be sufficient, you know, for an irrevocable commitment. I'm not sure. Similarly, in the Rambam, here. Kiva Stern?
Yeah.
The Rambam, you saw?
Good.
Yeah, excellent. So what is Rambam, what do you think about it? What does he say? And first of all, tell me what you think before you read it. Or what you thought. Kiva. Worth mentioning or not?
Definitely worth mentioning, but the most of it was particularly like beyond anything said in the Gemara. I thought one interesting point was when he seems to be focusing more on the directions, perhaps more similar to what we were discussing in the Rei Gershom. It says,
yeah. Why say ratza?
Yeah.
So that might be sensational, right? Meaning, again, you have the whole thing. So why doesn't he just say Zeh Kana Ruach Zeh? He made a kinyan on the property.
Right.
Right? So who picked up on this?
This
is
interesting.
It does, yeah, I don't remember that. Yeah. Somebody makes note of that? I mean, I was talking about the tour, but one second, I don't know why I'm not. Here we go. I thought somebody else said something here? I don't remember.
It's in the
the Constantine one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, correct. You have that?
I don't have it on my computer.
Not the Al-Attar, but yeah, correct. So this is the in the Shinui and Nuschos, by the way, again we have Avlim Konam Yadam Shazer Ratza Ruach Plonis, Shazer Ratza Ruach Plonis, Ein Mecholim Lachsar. The problem a little bit in the Rambam is the Vachain. Except that it is such a Kiva, why is Vachain? Vachain is certainly a Kenya case. Right, the chain and halach zeh the atzmo behichzik bechalko, the zeh beatzmo behichzik bechalko, alfa bishol konim yadim einechad meim yachal asu bechaber. I mean, that's posh. That's a real kinyan. So it's the fact that the Rambam integrates a real kinyan, with a kinyan beruchos, sheratza beruchos. Like, how much does the second dilute the first? Or because I would have said I was writing the Rambam, this is what I really meant. I would have said, if I was going to say it at all, the kol shekain, right? Maybe there's a word, the kol, I don't know. No.
Well, what if there's no lechazek kni over here then?
Maybe, okay. That would be, okay, right. That's a great idea, correct. If there's no lechazek kni, so it's also a mitzvah, like we were saying the other day. Or, in other words, even the chazaka here is maybe either a concession to shutfus, or a concession to Kinyan Devarim. Maybe. In the Shinui Nuschos, actually, in this Rambam, it says, Keni b'ksav ayalu b'sefer muga b'tfusim chaser sharotsu. Interesting. Anyways, the tour, I think I did tell you to look at, in Kufay and Gimel, certainly seem to have understood the Rambam this way. Right? Kiva, you have that? Because he contrasts it, right, with the other Rishonim.
Yeah.
Don't have a rush. By contrasting it, that's how you see that he read it that way.
Right.
Meaning he, right, not just that, Ratza, right? So that's also the aura of the preach, I think, right? Second. Right, Beit Yosef said, "Vani lo matzasi shakasam arash." But Kai Gavna v'kinu b'dvali malakasam stam divrei Rashi. Yeah, man. The Sover Rabbeinu, go ahead.
Sover Rabbeinu, in the name of Mashmah.
Kol Kai Gavna, yeah. So that's a little different, right? That's the Beis Yosef's reading of the Rambam. You know, the question is, when did the Birur HaDvarim take place? Did it take place Bizman HaKinyan or in advance? Right? Vani Tema. Well, who cares? Why is that Kinyan Dvarim? So what's he saying? Meaning the Beis Yosef and others are all trying to, you know, figure out whether, you know, what this supposed machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh is. And they're suggesting all sorts of different things, which are interesting, also very consequential for, you know, kid and bar. Right? Is it better, you know, to be mevarer b'shas kinyan, or you can be mevarer before and then you just do the kinyan? Okay. Good. Interesting issue in its own right. Could be part of this discussion. But what's the, Akiva, what's the tour's take on the Rambam? Like we said.
Yeah.
Namely, that the kinyan isn't taking place now at all. The kinyan is only legabe, right?
The
commitment to the Ruchos. So it's understandable the Rush might, that the Torah would think that the Rush doesn't go along with that, right? So actually, again, the other part of the discussion, I think, is also maybe relevant to this, but I think it's just a more amorphous, frankly. This is a very clear, you know, perspective where, you know, no Kenyan in the present, you know, but, you know, it is concrete, it is Mavurar, you know. Again, is it also helped out by the Shutfa's part, or this, you know, would apply in any situation? Hard to know. So, in terms of Lishonos, you know, mention the other Rishonim just for a minute, you know, again, you have this Tshuva Sarif. The only time you saw it? So you could look in the week of Rishonim if you really need to. It's also very good. Tshuva Sarif, Simen Yudalet. But he's described, just, it's, you know, it's worthwhile looking at, we're just looking at a few of them, but, well, we'll see some cases in a minute. B'chein mal komash is karnu l'mala. Ki u nikne b'kinyan. Like, what do they emphasize? Eina nikne el b'chein amar nasat, do you have that?
Yeah. Eina nikne el b'chein amar lo nasati la kas b'kas b'kasapi al asmi kas b'kas abal im amar lo esin la kas b'kas eina nikne b'afil yiyah b'rishuso fisha hu asmach d'shar osina korin osa kinyan dvarim ba'al.
Yeah, so that's very mechudash, right, to integrate, to equate the problem of asmachta and kinyan dvarim. And basically, he's distinguishing between anything which is future oriented, right, and present. You know, for that reason, the only issue to think about here, you know, goes back to something I mentioned the the other day, and that is that there are also out there like two perspectives on asmachta. Right? The more standard view about asmachta is that it's a guzma, you know, that there's an absence of sufficient, right, gemiras das. And if that's, you know, what's driving the rif here too, then, you know, then kinan dvarim, you know, as an asmachta problem, you know, is not a fundamental, you know, issue at all. Meaning, in theory, you know, if I wanted to reinforce my level of commitment or promise, whatever it is, you know, as long as it would be something that would, you know, be credible, objectively credible, you know, that would actually work. And that's a certain perspective on kinyan and on the issue of kinyan devar. And so just a little hard to know because, as I say, the Rambam, when he speaks about, you know, asmachta in Parakin Aleph, as I mentioned, asmachira, you know, introduces, and it could be that it definitely seems to have come from Reb Haigon in, you know, say from Mecca Chumemkar. You know, so it's hard to know whether that influenced, you know, the riff as well, and that is that, you know, an asmachta itself is a problem, you know, of, you know, call it sometimes, Rav used to call it das alatnai, not kinyan alatnai. You know, so it isn't like technically just a problem of, you know, how serious is he. It's a problem, it's a legal problem, a structural problem. Like, you can't, you know, if you make a kinyan, you know, altanai, that's one thing, but das altanai, that's asmachta. So if you want to say kinyan dvarim is always das altanai, not kinyan altanai, so instead of saying, you know, that kinyan dvarim is asmachta, what you're really kind of saying is that asmachta is kinyan dvarim. Right? So I think that's an interesting, you know, thing to think about. But either way, the formulation is very interesting, and the focus on etain and the present, you know, is consistent with that in both ways. In both ways, thank you. Right. Okay. The Rivigash is a tshuva. What's his take? This is what Siman Kuf Lamed Hey. What's the case? The guy made a promise with a kinyan, she yisos bas dodo. Right? Eino kinyan kifi shuras hadin. Go ahead.
Kifi shuras hadin li yoso kinyan al kubula she yasos on the hu nikra kinyan tvar she eino kinyan. With fisha ha kinyan eino moil. Ela bechol dover she yishbo etzem.
Probably should be velo bepeulos shehim mikrim. In lahem etzem. Very philosophical language, right? You know. So what does he mean to say? If I commit to do something, you know, just that you know, to do an action in the future. Again, that's an intention, or that's a, you know, a commitment, but that's not a legal change. I think that's what it means. A kinyan is, you know, it's a promise, basically. Right? I promise to marry, you know, your, you know, bas dodo. Okay, your cousin. I promise to marry your cousin. That's a promise. There's no legal relationship. A kinyan is the kol davar sheyesh bo etzem. Okay, that sounds like it's not just a problem of mevurar, right? It doesn't sound like it's an issue of asmachta. It's that kinyanim are not about promises or even commitments. They're about, you know, legal, you know, essences. Okay. Good. The Rambam has a tshuva, Siman Shin Tzadi Vav. interesting, especially in light of the Rambam that we just read. Anybody have the key line there? Afilo sheyia sham kinyan lo yoil ad sheyivar bo inyan chalifeha kedei sheloyia kinyan dvarim bialma. Kamosha nizbar besof ksuvas, interesting. U kamosha biarnu anachnu, means probably kufbeis. When the Gemara speaks again about those kind of issues, it's chayvus, dvarim, kamosha nizbar besof ksuvas, u kamosha biarnu anachnu besefer kinyan. Right? Meaning, what's the, what does it mean, chiluf? Inyan chalifeyan, the quid pro quo. But again, meaning some relationship, you know, that has been, you know, established. So, interesting. Does, you know, ruchos and the shutfas qualify for that? Maybe in the context of shutfas it does. Or maybe in general, because you're at least you're, you know, you're, there's a trade-off there. But since no actual kinyan has been made, assuming that's what the Rambam means, right? A little hard to know. Yeah. The Rosh and Atshuva, also, yeah, we can show this a whole bunch of these cases. This is Klal Yud Beis Simen Beis and Gimel. Right, the guy promised, you know, somebody that he would hire him as a moel, or he would hire him as a moel. He would kama pamim nasa b'fnei b'fanai she'adam nada l'chavero b'no lamulo olasoso balbris minasanda b'tzivisi l'kayim advarim. Right, b'tkias kaf ki min urai nirali davar pashut she'en lo kiyum ala b'tkias kaf o kabal ascherim. Right, az kofino salakayim atav etorascha shalom kenefesh asher ben yichiyah nechti yididi arab Moshe Cohen ani ayisi ragil lomar d'dover shalom ba liolam hu liosim is afilu kvar nolad aben. Right, v'hiknelo v'kinyan shiyah bal bris yachal achsevo v'kinyan dvarim bi'almahu k'diso vol basra. Right, gam kishkandu zeb zeb baruchos. I'm sorry, Gabe Kishkanu Zebze Beruchos. Right? And again, you know, they, at least the Tour and others are understanding, you know, that the Rosh's understanding of Kinyan Beruchos is a real Kinyan. Uparach Kinyan Dvar Mialmahu. The Kinyan Lomahani Ela Obe Mecher, Obe Matana, Obe Tzmura, Al Dover Hanitfas, the Kone Gufachefetz. Of a bedover zeh shehiknul olasos mitzvah achas kinyan dvarim bi'almahu. That's just a promise, right? So again, it sounds like in the Rush, again, some of the Rishonim, it sounds like, you know, like again, to take the tshuva, depending on how you understand it, for sure, you know, but it sounds like, you know, a lot of the in-between intermediate cases could really be proper kinyan, as long as they're not asmachta, you know, etc. And, you know, for the Rush, at least the Chuvah's a Rush, it sounds like you need something approximating, you know, like a classical chalos kinyan. And for other Rishonim, you know, it sounds like could be issues in between. So here, Tosas, Bali Tosas also discussed this question twice on our daf. Okay, what are the two? Akiva? Good job. Yeah, sure. What's the first one about? Which one are you reading? Kiratsu?
Kiratsu.
Yeah. So what's the story? What bothers this Tosas? If you held like the Mandamar that Mechitza means Guda, you wouldn't have asked this question. Like this Gemara is coming on the heels of like assuming that Mechitza means Plukta. Right? And therefore we're talking about a Shudfus Shemba Kedei Chalukah and so on. Correct? So like what difference is it? Maybe we're talking about like a regular Shudfus and maybe the word maybe it means Guda. Right? Is that what he's saying? Oh.
Like we mentioned earlier, perhaps she would, Tosa seems to be the opinion that she would, while not, it's abstract and doesn't have a physical presence, it's still, still has.
Yeah, so this is a really interesting Tosa. First of all, Tosa is the same. If the agreement revolved around not the breaking up of the partnership only, but the building of the wall, right? So even though that, seems like, promise, since there's an immediate, there's something concrete to correspond to, it's actually Hiskaibus Mamon, so maybe it's a Shibud on the Mamon, right? So Mishabit Atzmo, sometimes ago, but if you hold Guda, kind of a shibdu nichseim lebinyan akosa. Okay, it didn't have to be that way. You could say, they made an agreement to build a wall. Right? Tosa says no. Making an agreement to build a wall means a monetary commitment, right, to share the expenses. And that monetary commitment is expressed in Shibud Nechasim. You can generate a Shibud Nechasim that's, that doesn't look like a Kinyan because nothing actually changed hands, but it is certainly a legal, you could call it a legal, it's more than a legal commitment, it's a legal commitment with a present consequence. It reminds us a little bit of the rush, in Hezekiah, right, where the Rush had the Ha'ara, why is it that, you can be, you can't be Chozer like you can in Krak Susi, right? So the Rush says, no, if it was from a Hezekiah point of view, you could be Chozer, right? The only thing is that, when you agree to remedy Hezekiah, implicitly what you're really, agreeing to is, you're making a shibud on the money, on the investment necessary for the wall. You're kind of implicitly, designating that. So by doing that, that's done already. I think the Rush is actually more Mechudash than Tosas, but I think both are assuming that the agreement, or whether it's implicit, the implicit agreement to build a wall, in this case it's an explicit agreement, to build a wall is tantamount to, it's the equivalent of, a monetary commitment. Okay? So actually that's also how Tosas, Akiva, interprets the next Tosas, in a way, right? Yeah. So again, what's the problem before we get to what does that sugya say?
Seems like Shemachina is accepting.
And this is one of the main cases that Rishonim bring up. The Master Shemachina Miyos Kishol case. Because again, on the surface, nothing happened, right? Other than a commitment, a promise. What am I saying? When the time comes, if there's a calamity, if something happens to the chayfetz, I hereby commit to pay right according to the standards of a shoel, even though I'm actually only right a shomer king. Right? So you have the Gemara there in Bava Metzia just for a minute. So the Gemara originally thinks that that's a pretty interesting Gemara. I mean, originally the Gemara thinks that what? That has to do with the, that depends on the question of Masa Mashakasa Batorah between Adav or Shevamah. Right? The Machlokas between Rabbi Meir, but the Mishnah says, Masa Shamachinim Yos Potter Mishvua, Vashol Yos Potter Mishalim, and then there are other issues about tonight, the mission. So that's in the other direction. Let's say he wants to be makil, but he wants to downgrade his obligation as a shomer. So the Gemara says, like, how can he do that? Masa machukas b'torah, tonight batel. The Gemara says, Amani Rabbi, you have it there?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Amani Rabbi, just very quickly. That isn't true. In the Seifa, so that's actually very interesting. What is that line? Shiny hacha to be karlo shivei nafshe. Even if you don't hold like Rabbi Yehuda, right, which is that masal mashakasa the Torah, if it's not davar shebamamo in this kind, you can change dine Torah when it's in the context of dine mamonis. That's the finish of Rabbi Yehuda. Even if you hold that that's not true, you can't be tamper with dine Torah, even in dine mamonis. Very fundamental argument. But shiny hacha to be kara. Well, she bade not shit. What does that mean?
It would be like something we discussed before that you only run into the problem once you're, you know, once you enter the world of Shmira. But
correct.
If you're showman, but if you're never even entered that world.
I mean, if you're, right, exactly. I mean, there's a stira between, you know, according to Rabbi Meir, between an existing Shmira and the effort, right, to change the details. Well, that's a question. Right, are you adjusting them? Are you, how flexible is the definition? And that's the issue of, you know, masal mashal kasa b'torah, even b'tzayin davar shibamama. But the Gemara here is telling us something very profound, and that is that if to begin with you don't accept shmira, except in certain conditions, right, so then you'll never say hamaisa kayam b'tzayin bata. Either you'll say probably, you know, either you'll say that there's no such animal and it doesn't work, right? Or you'll be given the flexibility to kind of write your own ticket. Here you're being given the flexibility to write your own ticket. If you look at Rashi, that's what Rashi emphasizes. Rashi says, oh, because in, oh, you'll see why I'm emphasizing this. It's a fascinating, it's all right, but why am I talking about this now? Because in a way, it's going to help us on the flip side a little bit, I think, or a lot. Rashi says, Afilu tema, resha. Go ahead, Kiva.
Afilu tema, resha, the son of Mata, Shomer Kinam, the Pater Mishkua, the mayor. I love Mata, Moshkat, the Torah, Allah, Shomer, the FG, the Shomer, Shafa,
the top. Period. That's fine. Now, here's the part which I think is very important. Go ahead. Meaning, this isn't just, this is important to know, And the question is, you know, does anybody agree? Everybody agrees with this fact. You know, the significance of this fact, you know, is more debatable. Shmira isn't just a hischayvus. Right? Shmira requires some sort of kinyan. Right? Or the pashtus it does. Okay? So you have to be moshech the animal. And Rashi's explaining, Haiki Mashiach, go ahead. Meaning, shibud, meaning Shmira is a Shibud to begin with. And this that Shibud is a Kinyan. And therefore the Shibud, the parameters of what you're committing to, right, can be, you know, determined, maybe even flexibly, at that moment. Lamashi Yorad Yorad, as opposed to, for example, Avakadisha Saisha, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. Good. So this is an interesting insight that Shmira basically is a kinyan in the Chefza, and that kinyan in the Chefza, you know, is connected to the, you know, his chaibus, and even the details of how that his chaibus will, you know, be implemented or manifested at a later point. Okay. So, right, this is the question. In other words, it's just a kinyan, or, like, how much of Shmira, that's really what I'm trying to ask, is in the present, or how much is in the future? That's really kind of a part of the issue. It's a Shmira issue, question. In other words, you're Makabel Shmira, you make a Kinyan, you could redefine some of the parameters. All of that implies that Shmira is very present oriented. Right? On the other hand, right, until something happens to the Chepetz, you're not obligated to pay. Right? So if there are two critical moments in you know, there could be three critical moments actually in Shmira, but primarily two, right? One is the moment of Kabbalah Shmira, right? And the other is the you know, the moment of the Takala. The third might be the time of the Piron, but or the, you know, Amida Bedin, but we'll leave that one out for now. The bigger question is, what is the relationship between the moment of Kabbalah Shmira and the Achrayas, you know, of what takes place. Especially if you look at, and this is like a big question, right? And there are different, you know, perspectives. And act, you know, very important nafkamina. The more you look at, you know, the shomer as a, you know, as a legal a gavra, you know, somebody who, like, he's transformed. He's, you know, he's a gavra shomer. He becomes a shomer. And that's like a status. It's not just a list of his later, you know, obligations. And the more that you look at his chiyuv to pay back, you know, as a kind of hashava, you know, the more you're, you know, emphasizing the upfront part of what takes place in Shmuel. The more you look at it in terms of, you know, some sort of a pshia or, you know, even a chi of achrayas, you know, in other words, something responding to the actual trigger, you know, the actual calamity, you know, the shasat, the takala itself, it, you know, then the shmira parts are set up. They're putting certain things in place. And it also could be that both of these things are true, and the question is the balance between them. So, for example, when it comes to dinei shmira, like, to what extent is it, you know, what we call, you know, if there's an Eni Odeh, is it Eni Odeh Mischayavti or Eni Odeh Pratik? And that comes from the Mishnah at the end of Bava Kamma, distinguishes between Eni Odeh Pratik and Eni Odeh Mischayavti, right? You know, what is Chayiv and what is Potter. Eni Odeh Pratik is Chayiv, because it's a Cheskas Chiyu that you're Chayiv. Eni Odeh Mischayavti is a Cheskas, you know, Patur, like, prove that I'm obligated. Like, what is Dine Shmira? Any of them Praticha or any of them is Chayavti? No. The Shibudim. Right? When do they really kick in? You know? From the time of the Mashiach? Avkada, the Tchilas Hashmira, or only later? You know, practically, when do they kick in? And conceptually, when should they kick in? Or is it just like an exception? That either they're delayed or that they're made earlier. So if you look at the Gemara in Ksuba stuff, Lama Dalib and Sugya, parallel Sugya Bava Kama, whatever it is, Kofi Beis, I think. You know, this is like, these are very big issues. And the Rishonim debate these issues. The Ramban, the Ritva, the Rajba, you know, especially the Chachmei Sfarad, but implicit in some of the Bali Tosis as well. It also is very reasonable to be Mechalek, frankly, between different children, for reasons that we have had other occasions to discuss. Right? Again, Shomer Chinam, you know, very, very tempting, you know, especially if you hold like the Rambam and you say that Moshe is Kemazik, to say that, you know, everything is a setup, you know, and the real Chiyum, you know, begins only B'Shas HaNezek, Moshe HaKemazik. On the other hand, not completely that case, because it isn't an objective mazik, as we've been discussing. It's a mazik only because he's a shomer, a gavra shomer, you know, who has, you know, given himself a different status. It's a little tricky. A shoel, you know, certainly you want to, you know, be tempted to push it up front, because it's, you know, kol hanah shelo. So, if that's just a trade-off, he's chayiv more achrayas because he has more benefits, but really, 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 he's chayiv like an insurance. The insurance company is chayiv for, you know, to cover the loss, and it's triggered by the loss. But if you say that a shoel, kol hanah shelo, isn't just a trade-off, it's not a reason why his chayiv achrayas, his liability is greater because his benefits are greater. No, his liability is also a function of his quasi-ownership, right? He's a mitzvah pilot, called Ma Shalom. So that begins, his kinyane tashmishim, you know, begin b'shas hafkada, b'shas she'ela. So there are a lot of discussions about it, and panticha and schayafti, about the zman hashibudim, about being mechalek between shoel and shomer chinam, where does shomer sachar stand in between, and where does socher stand, you know, in between. Socher also has certain kinyanim, but has the dinim of a, you know, shomer sachar. Again, I don't want to prosecute the whole bava kama, right? The whole bava metzia, the whole dinei shomrim. But why am I telling you all this? Because what this gemara is telling us is this gemara is one of the gemaras that says that shas mishicha, you know, the hatchala is very important. It defines. It certainly practically defines what will take place later. But the reason for that is because that, in some respect, the shame shomer, or tchilas shibudo, begins there. So now we come to the main part. Akiva, go ahead. So what about the other case? Not lekula, but lechumra. Right? Mas shomer sachar, lios kashol. That's not an issue of Masna Mashikasa Torah. That sounds like it's an issue of his chayvus, right? His chayvus bialma. So the guy's Masna Shomer Sachar Leos Kishoa. So the Gemara, go ahead. The Gemara says Bemai. Barin. So that's a great line. Right? You mean what? Just by commitment? Typically you need a Kenyan. Now there are some things that are nicknamed Bamira, as we've discussed. Right? But either where Amira is binding without a kinyan, like that's the discussion of the Rambam I mentioned, Perikin Hor, or where the Amira generates a kinyan, you know, either through Odisa, or in the case of Shiduchen, as we mentioned, Elohin Advarma Nikim Amira, and a few other cases. Okay, so the Gemara wants to know, like, what generated this extra chi of this chumrah? Dvarid, says the Gemara, Bishakonami Yado. Correct? Interesting. Keep going. Rabbi Yochanan Amar. So that's, of course, very tricky, very interesting in its own right. We're not going to go into this. But there are a whole bunch of Gemaras out there, you know, like this, where the Gemara says, like, you know, even without a kinyan, it's b'hahi hana. Right? The Gemara in the end of Bava Basra, right, Kufay in Gimel on the base, talks about the shibud of an arev, right? Just for a minute. The shibud of an arev, the Gemara says, like, well, you know, how does that work? Especially if you hold asmachta, right? Arev de mishtabe, this is Kufay in Gimel on the base. Omar Neymar, arev de mishtabe, machlokas rabbi of Rav Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, domar asmachta kanya, arev mishtabe. Rabbi Yuda, domar asmachta lo kanya, arev lo mishtabe. Omar Rashi, Neymar, hamaisim b'chol yom da asmachta lo kanya, v'arev mishtabe. Very fascinating question. Why isn't every arev an asmachta? And Ravashi, Bahi Ana, the Kamehemenle, Gomar, Mishtabe, Nafshin. He gets Hana that the guy takes him seriously and, you know, and based on his word or his commitment, you know, follows through. So, this is a very famous Gemara. This is what the Rambam was quoting to explain his Chayvos. Right in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha, Tezvav. I mean, that's the question of whether I'm a mima. The Rav says, like, arev. Rav said, like, arev. So is there hahiyana in that case? Pashto is not. So there are two ways to explain the arev Gemara. It has a lot of consequences for arev and for other things. You know, one is that the hahiyana neutralizes asmachta. In other words, really, you know, kinyan isn't necessary. I wouldn't say for anything, but for certain things, lu yitzuyar, you could have, you know, a way to neutralize the problem of asmachta. In Akhanami, ischaibus would work. That's probably how the Rambam read the Gemara. Only because it runs into other problems in the Rambam, which I'll mention very quickly, but I'm not going to solve them now. You know, back in the Kiddushin days, right? But the simple pshat of the Rambam, if he's using arev as a paradigm for his chayvus, is that he read the Gemara this way, meaning the Gemara was saying, how can you have arev and asmachta? The answer is because it's not an asmachta, because of ahiyana. So how does arev really work? He's meshabed atzmo, his chayvus. I said the problem it runs into is the Gemara is in Kiddushin Dav Zayin, where the Gemara says, you know, teimon the ploni vakada shani lach. So the Gemara says, Mekudeshes midin arev. And Dafka, the Rambam, and those, when he paskins, those Gemaras, arev and Emet Knani, and so on, you know, makes it seem that the Kiddushin is with the Hana, even though he's quoting, you know, the basis of arev. So fitting in those Rambams is a little challenging. Okay. But anyway, that's not our topic. The bigger point is that there are two ways to read that Gemara, and Gemaras like it. One is that the Hana is a mitzaref, the Hana neutralizes asmachta, but the Hana isn't the davar koneh, right? The davar koneh is the commitment. Right? Again, in the case of Kedusha, just to partially explain what, you know, the solution, is that in Kedusha you need a kinyan. Nobody thinks you can be Mekadesh al yedei dibur. Right? So it could very well be that even with Kadesh Midin Arabs, it's understood as having two different, you know, elements. But anyways, not for now. So the Gemara here also, the Gemara in Ksuvas Daf Kuf Beis, when talks about, I spoke about this yesterday in a different context, Dvar Maniknin Bamiris quotes Hana. A bunch of Gemaras quote Hana. We'll see soon. The Gemara and Daf Mem Zayin in Bab Metzia, I'm not sure if you saw it already, but hopefully we'll get to it tomorrow, when the Gemara speaks about Rav and Levi and, you know, Caleb Shalmakne, the Gemara speaks about Bahiyana, a whole bunch of Gemaras. So, typically, again, Hana is a Mitzare, for Hana neutralizes Asmachta, that's one perspective, or Hana is really the Davar HaKoneh, Hana is like Kesef. Right? Which is what the Rambam's view in Arev in Kiddushin. Right? instead of actual kesef, you know, rekod lefanai, you know, for kiddush and also is good enough. Or, you know, dabra layich l'shulta, what's called kinyan adam chashu. Okay, we'll talk about it in, when we get to Bambitziya. So there are a whole bunch of gemaras, you know, about the impact, you know, of ana. So again, in order to trigger shmira, there's a kinyan, like an exchange between hana'a and ischaibos, or as long as you can eliminate asmachta, dvarim really works. Hard to know. The Rambam actually paskins that way. The Rambam paskins, you know, not konam yado in that sugya. Look at Hilchos Schiros. I wrote it down somewhere. Was it Perek Beis Halacha? I can read my handwriting here, but in Perek Beis Hilchos Schiros Halacha Tes, when he explains the din of Masne Shomacharuk Shomachinim the Yoske Shoel. He doesn't explain it in Kanam Yadam. Okay? Well, of course, this is very important because, again, the, you know, this Kanam Yado is what Tosis is targeting. And the Rush and Bali Tosis, I'll say the other way, the Bali Tosis and the Rush in Ksubas, right, also when they talk about Tosefes Ksuva, what's the problem with Tosefes Ksuva? Israel? Do you think I've seen it yet?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought I was behind. I'm calling, so I feel a little better. Zach, saw it?
I did not see it.
Oh, okay. Try to see those other Gemaras for tomorrow. And then again, I want to start doing the Sudar stuff. But, Stephen, you saw it? Anybody see the Gemara Ksuvos yet? Nobody saw it yet. Oh, wow. Okay, so we should stop then, probably. But the Gemara Ksuvos speaks about Tosefes Ksuva. And there's a very famous question about Itosis, or Rabbeinu Eliyahu, and the Rush deal with, and that is, how could you be Mosif a Ksuva at the time of the marriage? Like, let's say if you have money, which one of you think that, then that's less of an issue or a problem because you're a mishabed, you know, the money that you have for the collection of the Tosefes. But if you don't have the money, right, so how, you know, why isn't that kinyan bar mielma? That's essentially their question, right? And they quote, they say, ah, you'll tell me, and, you know, they quote the Sugya of Masra, right? And then they say, ah, you'll tell me, Shomer Masra, Shomer Chinam Yos, Kishoel. So I think they quote that. No? About all these Gemaras, I thought we'd get through them today. Yeah, sweet pentosis for a minute. Right at the beginning of Afal Pi. Tema, Dachshav Nogu Shekosev Chasen Lekala Mea Litrin Apo Pishayim Lo Shav Apruta Bishlo Mekashiyesh Lo Meshabi Nechasa Uzecho Vaho V'Nizchai V'Apir Nevdu Kana Acherim He Meshtab Nima Pishayim Namak Nama Shalom Baliyom Komak Olim Meshabi Nama Shalom Baliyom Kisun Kim Dekasa U'Dasir Anil Mikne. We'll go back on this Tosas. Aval Osa Shayim Lo Hei Fishtabi, right? Bishal Ri Rabeliyahu Bhishivlo the Matsino Kinyans have a parak sokras apolim. Tanya Master Shabakinam the Oskashoel. Parak Mamai Dvarim. Umishani Vishkanamiyado, Mashma Bakolinyan, Avabishain Maknalo, Shum the Chasim, Elishabishabe Gufo, Zacho Meata, the Kashiolo Nechasim, Chal Shibuddha Meata, Vainza Kinyan Dvarim Bialma, the Kinyan Dvarim Lohavala Kahi, Dresh Baba Basra. Right? But then he has the Yeshua Farshin. That's the Rosh has a little bit of a different take. So this is the question. This is a very crucial case, and that's what Tosas is asking from, you know, as well. So if at the end of the day, even Devarim works, which is what the Rambam is saying, so first of all, it's not a case of Kanamiyano. If you needed a Kenyan, maybe it wouldn't work for the Rambam, if he's passing that way. Are the 2 days of the Gemara arguing whether Kanamiyano works? Hard to know. Right? Or everybody agrees Kanamiyano works, the second day it just says you don't need it, because Amira works also. Bahihana, either as kinyan mamon, or as neutralizing the asmachta, you know, in a kinyan dvarim. So it's just important to know that for the Rambam, this is not necessarily a problem. The Gemara, that line is a problem, but maybe you would argue that that's not nipsak halacha. So what does Tosa say here? In the end, we'll stop in a minute. Akiba. What do you make of it? He's not saying, oh, it's the kind of promise, you know, that is a commitment, that is more of a skybus. Right? He's actually like the previous Tosas. What? It's a Kinyan Gomor. He's implicitly, you know, being Makne, his Nechasim, right? Kinyan Gomor, Shem Shabed Atzmo. Well, okay. Shem Yenes Shishale. In light of Tosin Ksuvis, that's the question. Tosin Ksuvis saying, what, only if he has property? So he's Meshabed Atzmo? Let's say he doesn't have property. I mean, it's Meshabed Chasim, so that's why Tosa says, click carefully, Meshabed Atzmo, Shem Yenes Shishale. A Shibra Guf is also a Kenyan. Interesting. Not everybody has to agree with that. I mean, the implicit question of Tosin Sumas is that that's not true. But you could give a different answer. First of all, this is Mechudash, because let's say the Shibudim really are for later, not for now. Okay, again, there's a Kenyan now. You know, that we see that from the fact that it's not Masa Masha Kosa, but in the opposite days. As I said, the question of Shibudim is a tricky question. But I would have given a completely different answer. And that is, based on things that we've already discussed, and that is that assuming the shame Shomer, right, isn't, you know, a concrete Kenyan or even Shibud, you know, that plays out in, you know, the ekni, the nechasim that you'll buy, or through Shibra Guf, for sure. But it's a difference. It's a Shibra Guf in another way, right? And that is, there's a shame shomer. And the question is, like, what kind of shomer are you going to be? Right? And this, of course, turns on the following important question. And that is, when you say Masne Shomachinam Yas Keshoel, right, do you mean to say that you're a Shomachinam, but you're mischayev yourself to pay like a Shoel? In which case, you know, as far as that is concerned, you have to say something like Tosa says. Even if you didn't have to say it from a Kinyan Devarim point of view, you would just have to say it because that's what's happening here. Namely, there's an extraneous obligation. You are a Shomachinam. Right? But you're being mischayiv separately to pay like a shoel. But let's say what's really happening is that you are, just like in the other direction, except this isn't the Masa Masha Kosa Torah issue, you are redefining, you know, the nature of your shmira. Even though you're not, you don't have kol hanos shelo, right? But you have the ability, you know, to be Meshabed yourself to be a Shoel, assuming that that's the case. That's what about the Shavua that you take, you know, other things, right? Other any other issues, lakula or lachumra, you know, that reflect that you assume that new status, not just that you'll, you know, pay in situations where that is required. If you say that would be, you know, not a commit. I think you could say again three things. You know, either the level of commitment, you know, is greater than, you know, simply, you know, an intention and a haftacha even and so on. Therefore, it's not kinyan dvarim bi'alma. Right, that's one, you know, point. Or, you know, you're being meshabed nechasim, and if, you know, maybe you don't even have nechasim, so you're being meshabed through the shibud aguf. So when you acquire nechasim, that's the more pure kinyan orientation. Whereas the first one, which is again this idea that there really is a kind of kinyan dvarim, as long as, you know, you're either very specific and not asmachta, and you know, not just promising but really kind of legally committing. But in between those, again, is a situation where, you know, the shame shomer is the kinyan. You know, like you're redefining, and this goes to something that we talked about in Kutra Beis HaKisei and the Rambam. Like the Rambam on the one hand says, no chazaka kutra beis hakisei. I gave this example then, just getting back to it. On the one hand, and on the other hand, the Rambam says, kana miyado, that will work. And that's a machlokas harishon. So, kana miyado is just, you know, an extraneous eschaibus about paying. Kana miyado is, in that situation, you know, concretizing his commitment, but what is it? And the Bach, if you remember, thought that it was Dafka Kinyan Sudar, not any other Kinyan. Also, it's helpful. Maybe Kinyan Sudar, Konamiyado, the paradigm of Masa Shamachinam, the Yoske Shoel, is the idea of, you know, redefining, especially within the area more flexibly of Dine Mamanis. You know, like what constitutes or what parameters of shmirah are, and maybe what the parameters of nezek are. Okay, so let's continue with some of these cases and try to get through them tomorrow. But with this in mind, this is what we're trying to examine, and then move on to the kinyan sudar part of the topic.
Thank you.